Good evening, Tribe, and welcome to this week's Dose of Naked Football. Despite the outrageous spitting incident last week, Phil Ham did again get permission to play this week. So, hello, welcome back, Phil.
Yeah, they appeal.
Yeah, he appealed and got away with it. God knows how. I thought it was disgusting. Also in the studio once again is season ticket holder Ray Slegg.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Ray. And we welcome another naked virgin all the way from Denmark this time. And he is Tan fan Finn. And he's going to tell me his second name. What is it, Finn?
I'm Finn Sandholt.
See? I told you. That's why.
Hello.
Hello, Finn. And under discussion will be the 0-0 draw, of course, with QPR. Premiership links to Town players, and in particular Danny Haynes, and the Blues' chances of promotion as we look forward to the game, which could see Colchester United relegated. All that and anything else out there that you'd like to talk about. So, email in with your thoughts, especially if you were one of those children who thought it a good idea to boo Gary Roberts on Saturday. Perhaps you could explain to us what you hope to achieve by that. And the usual address to do so is studio@icrfm.co.uk, and you can text us on 07973 851 968. Do you want to start the ball rolling, Ray?
Yeah, QPR. Bad day at the office for Jim, I'm afraid. Tactically wrong on many things, just try and summarise as brief as I can. Danny Simpson at Scunthorpe came in, did a fantastic job wide midfield, looked superb, quick, pacey, dangerous, great runs, could have scored three goals. He ends up playing at full-back and we dropped David Wright, one of my favourite players, one of our most consistent players, not good. Danny Haynes, you got that one right, started up front with Alan Lee, second half disappeared somewhere in the midfield somewhere, don't quite know why he was dropped back. Gavin Williams, he suddenly appeared from nowhere after months of playing no football at all, and obviously Danny Simpson should have played there in my opinion, and he missed a goal from 2 yards out, not very good. And then towards the end, of course, we had the Gary Roberts thing, which you just briefly touched on there. I don't think the fans were booing Gary Roberts personally. I think they were really the decision that was made not to bring the striker on to try and win the game. So I think many things Jim got wrong. Bad day at the office, can blame the officials, they were awful, of course, we know that, but I don't think we helped ourselves.
Before we move on, I'd still like to say what I just said to you before we came on. They may have been booing the fact that Jordan Rose didn't come on, but if you were Gary Roberts, how would you have felt if everyone started booing? That was the position he was in, and I think that was totally unfair. That's all.
Oh, I agree entirely. It's not, I agree entirely. And if you saw the website today, I'm sure Phil saw the website, there's a very long article from QPR fan on there, really berating each of supporters for booing one of their own players. Although we didn't get as bad a stick as Wolves got, because they got awful stick for their behaviour the week before, so we weren't as bad as Wolves apparently. So the Marnie game might be as bad as we think if we can just get some football
play. We both sets of fans booing their own players.
Yeah. Well, they were booing the whole team. We were booing one player apparently, and they were booing the whole team from minute one virtually.
Yeah.
And he really had to go at the Wolves fans, and we got some awful stick as well, which is not good. But it was a very fair and well argued.
Yeah, that's on the
piece,
QPR.
On the website.
Yeah, I think it's on the
QPR. No, it's on your website.
Yeah,
yeah, on your
so
side as well.
From the club fans in QPR side, which can be...
It was well reasoned.
Yeah. But Finn, you went to the game, didn't you? And
yes.
What was your view?
Yes, I've talked to Ray after the match, so... he nearly told it all, but I think it was a good match. I think overall we... You have to remember that QPR had scored three goals in the three previous games. Oh. And we had a good defense, and they had a couple of chances, but I think that was the positive one. But also, I was... during the season, Jim had made many strange decisions, and one of the most strange one was to put Gavin Williams in front as attacking player.
Oh.
In the first half, He missed a sitter when he was a midfield player. And what do you do in the second half? You put him in attack. And our best attacking player, Danny Haynes, was a really danger. You put him in midfield.
Mm.
It doesn't make sense.
I mean, my sort of thinking on what Jim was trying to... I mean, I agree with you. I would have played Jordan Rose up front from the start, because... what we've lacked is an out-and-out goal scorer, I think, and I don't see Haynes as that for all his kind of attributes, and I think he generally played quite well on Saturday, and even Pablo and Alan Lee, I don't really see as kind of, you know, 25 goal a season. They're not David Johnson-type goal scorers, are they? I'd have played Rose and kept Danny Haynes at right-back. I don't agree with you about Danny Simpson at all, I have to say, because Danny Simpson is a right-back, and I think the only reason that Danny Simpson looks very impressive last week at Scunthorpe was because he came on at 2-0, and Scunthorpe threw everybody forward because they need to win, games. Draws are no good to them. And he was just, it was just catching them on the break time and time again.
No, he had great runs, he had great runs, and we didn't really capitalise on that at all. And the other thing is, you dropped David Wright.
Oh, I wouldn't drop David Wright.
One of our most consistent performers throughout the whole year. And to see David Wright on the bench running around at half time, we've got Simpson there, and then William should not have got in.
No, I don't think William should have got in.
He's not played for weeks. And I'm sorry, anybody who misses a goal from 2 yards out, almost akin to Marlon Harewood, didn't quite be that one from years ago, but almost as good at the same end. Shocking. That, if you did that at your work, did a mistake like that, you'd be fined or booted in the head, that's a bit.
But I think, as far as I had read, our back four has been rather good in the last couple of games. Why change it? Of course, he's a fullback, but he played very good in that wide role in midfield in the first game, and you had a problem there in the right midfield. That was the missing point. And why not put him there? He has shown his class.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the thing that Jim clearly wants with bringing in a fullback on loan is probably, I would say, some more attacking from the fullbacks. Because I think Seto, for all his defensive attributes, is fairly. I know he scored a goal last week, but he's generally a fairly defensive fullback rather than an attacking fullback. Whereas Simpson, from what we've seen so far, is very much. He's got a lot of pace about him, and he gets forward, and he got forward quite well on Saturday, I thought. And there again, I would say David Wright gets forward a lot more than Seto. So what I was expecting was David Wright to come in on the left and Simpson to play on the right, which would have been unfair on Seto because I think he's had a number of good games. But I can see what. But coming on to the point about the switch to 4-4-1-1, I think we can sort of say it was in the second half, because I think Williams was sort of playing between the midfield and Alan Lee. I mean, did you think that the idea was to sort of move the play more into our half of the field, to give QPR a bit of possession away in order to play a counter-attacking game? Because we'd looked quite dangerous in the first half when we counter-attacked. Now, perhaps, unfortunately, the situation was that as soon as they came into the game more in the second half, we looked less dangerous on the counter-attack. But, I mean, I can't really see any other reason Jim would have done what
he did. There's no reason at all. I mean, it's ridiculous. We were for the first 25 minutes, we were running the show. We could have had three or four goals. And suddenly, if it ain't broke, why try and fix it? And the half-time, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. We're at home. We're desperate for 3 points. We're trying to get this win that we need. And suddenly, this poor old Alan Lee, who's a terrific professional, works his guts out. Unfortunately, he got so tired, he missed two opportunities. I think we lost the opportunity, and you see what you like about the ref, what you like about the handball.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can safely say that it was a handball, it was over the line, and it probably was two other incidents as well.
Of course.
But you have seen the picture in evening. There's no question about that penalty, either a penalty or a goal.
Yeah, it was
nothing to talk about.
Hmm. Yeah, but. We shouldn't be talking about that because we should have been ahead by that stage. And I think we're all agreed, really. And of course, the other thing is, should Jordan Rhodes have been brought on earlier? I think that's
He should. Yeah. But I would like to think that at Colchester on Saturday, it won't happen because we're so negative. I'd like to think we'll play 4-3-3 on Saturday. There's no point in going and getting a draw. No point. I'd like to think we'll play Haynes wide, Lee and Rhodes. All three in there. Helpful to go for it, and if we get an early goal, I think we could have been 2-3-0. But if we sit back and try and play this cagey, nice, tactical little game, this is the way we're going to play it, we've thought it through, we had hours talk, just go for it and get the win and get some forwards on, and give Jordan Rhodes a chance, bless him. He had 5 minutes at Scunthorpe. He cannot save a game in 5 minutes. As a young lad, he was nervous, he looked nervous. Get him into the game, give him a chance, give him some help. And he might well get you a goal. He knows where the net is. We all know that.
I think it's an email there from a Norwegian supporter. From Gaia.
Yeah, we got a shitload.
He was talking about the lack of positivity in the closing stages, I think. It's one of the many that I
was heard. That the one about the Wolves-Charlton game?
Yes, it was.
Right, this is from Jakobsen. So that sounds a Swedish name. I'm sure Phil will back us up on that. Sorry, Jan Sibelius. When I was watching Charlton Wolves on TV straight after the game at Portman Road, it's obvious how much more other teams and their players are really pushing forward to try and win in the dying minutes. Can't remember when we last won a game on 90-plus minutes, and Jim's substitutions are questionable, as and they definitely came far too late.
I mean, I thought from that, when he sent me that earlier today or yesterday, one thing I sort of thought about it was, you see a lot of opposition sides when we play them in the last couple of minutes, they'll throw a centre-half up front, and, you know, we haven't seen De Vos going forward in that sort of circumstance, and we don't really, when John Walters isn't playing, and when Coochie's not playing, I suppose, we don't have a kind of big centre-ball we can hurl on in that manner, which, you know, I think it would show a bit more intent in the closing stages if we did stick De Vos or Nagler as an emergency striker.
Gary Roberts trots out from nowhere. I'm not having to go with Garros at all, but he's not played for weeks and weeks. He trots out. Liam Trotter's on the bench. He's been playing very well.
Who Roberts down. So.
Well, I mean, I don't know Trotter on the bench. Young, quick, nippy, get in there. So it's not a go at Gary Roberts at all. But I think these two players who've played no football for weeks and weeks suddenly both appear. And for no real apparent reason, as far as I can see, Roberts and Williams.
I'd say that Williams was completely out of the blue, and Roberts I'm not convinced by in any way, shape or form, I have to say. Not that I'd probably boo him, certainly, because I think it's counterproductive, but I think there are significantly better options in the squad.
Right, we've got a text here, which I'll read out, because it's covered two players you just talked about, including Bywater. Hello guys, do you think Jim will replace Bywater in the summer, whatever league we're in? We can answer that in a sec. Can I understand why Wright was dropped? That agrees with you, Ray. But should keep faith in Gavin Williams, as he's a very good player when fit. I agree with that, actually. I mean, he was a bit out of it on Saturday, but I think...
Right, massively off the pace.
Yeah, he was, and I also think Jim will probably get rid anyway. But hey-ho, I do like Gary.
That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's a good player. At the beginning of the season, someone in the club, when he got injured, described him as told me that they were all absolutely devastated because they'd lost the best player in the team. Now, 7 months on, well, 8 months on, he's now seen as a kind of peripheral figure who perhaps we're sort of looking to offload. I mean, he is a good player, but, as you say, when fit, and how often has he been fit? Yeah.
Another one, Simpson will play at fullback because if he doesn't play there, he won't get any more Man United loanees. It's a bit like Supple.
Yeah,
a bit like Supple playing for Falkirk, isn't it? We won't give him any more goalkeepers.
I can't see us sending anyone loan to Falkirk again, can you?
I think not. I don't think Ferguson's spot any sort of restrictions on Simpson. I think he just wants him to play regular football in a regular environment with a good club who play football. I don't think he said you must play in fullback or centre half. I think as long as he's playing, as long as he's involved and he's keeping fit and with a good club, he'll be quite relaxed. And he recently got a hat-trick of goals, which if you put him in the right position at the right place, he looks quite capable to me of getting in there and putting some goals in.
Now, I'm not convinced by that. I think it was the fact that he was playing against a team that were...
No, he was naturally good against any team. He was naturally good.
And...
You don't get that skill by being lucky against a lucky team.
But
he was naturally good.
My view of that stage of the game was it was all kind of played large in our half with most of Scunthorpe's players in our half, and then as soon as we got the ball, we hoiked it over the top for Simpson, who is quick, and I can't remember who else, Lee or whoever, to chase. And I think, you know, quite a lot of players would look quite good in that role.
What about Bywater then? Hasn't he played rather solid? I know he has a game where he dropped a couple of goals.
I
think the last three games have been really good, actually.
Yeah.
There was obviously the Barnsley game, which was the nightmare, wasn't it? There were a couple of incidents in another game, and I can't think which one it was. It might have been another away game, perhaps the last...
The Scunthorpe goal was a strange one.
He dropped a cross in the Scunthorpe game, I think, as well.
Stokey dropped a cross and got bailed out.
Yeah.
He was raining, though, so slippy.
Yeah, but you know, you've got to play to the conditions, haven't you? I wouldn't surprise me at all if we looked at someone else. I've never been overly impressed by Bywater, and Andy Rhodes was at a West Ham reserves game last week, which Richard Wright was due to play in, and didn't because he was subsequently went on loan to Southampton. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Richard Wright or someone else was a target in the summer. Now there's anyone think of that idea?
Through some
any Danish goalkeepers we could look to?
Well, actually, here's one while you're on that subject.
Sorensen.
From
Sorensen, but I thought we were looking for Sorensen in
the
transfer window.
He's
the third keeper in Aston Villa, and he's in the national team. He's a class keeper.
How old?
He's in his late 20s. That's the best age for a goalkeeper.
So he'd be a reasonable signing then?
Yes.
Right, so...
Perhaps he'll afford a good wage, but I think you can have it for free.
Yeah, end of the season.
Yes.
Mark Sheldrake sent in an email actually asking Finn, is there any other Danes we should be looking at to add to the squad? And actually, can you sing Come On You Blues in Danish? But don't bother with the last bit, but any Danes you think would be worth
I think that there are many good players in Denmark, and they are rather cheap in comparison, especially to English players. But I don't know if Ipswich has any scouts over there.
Well, I know that Jim wants. He said that he wants to bring Scandinavians in because a lot of the clubs where he's played have always had Scandinavians there.
Yeah.
Southampton. I was trying to think who he's talking about now. But he was saying that he was very keen to get Scandinavians over because of the sort of culture is. Well, Scandinavian players settle into English football very easily.
That's right.
And I know he'd spoken to. Is it Steen Nedergaard, Norwich player? Steen Nedergaard?
He was a Norwich player.
Yeah,
and also Norwich has. They had David Nielsen.
David Nielsen actually when we went to Aalborg a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yes.
Really big beard for a footballer.
Yeah.
But Steen Nedergaard, Jim had spoken to because Steve Foley. Who was a coach at Norwich, and he had through a contact with him, and so he was definitely looking at Denmark as a future place to look for players. Yeah. But so give us some players who are doing well in Danish football now that you would expect to see in English football in a year, 2, 3 years.
But if I look at my local club, FC the Middle of Jutland,
they have
a really strong academy, and at the time. 1 year ago, they really had some very promising young players, but now they are sold.
Yeah.
And it's to
where?
Netherlands and Germany. Right. And you can, especially, I think we Ipswich could have needed a central defender, and he cost £1.5 million, and he's. Really quality.
Mm-hmm. Who is it?
Solid. He's called Christian Bach Nielsen. He's playing a regular in Herrenfeen. Good in the air, strong tackler, really good fighting spirit, and you could use him as you proposed in the last part of a game, put him in attack.
Yeah.
Have you written this down, Phil?
I've my scouting. Do you think Danish football, the Dutch clubs and German clubs look more at Danish football at the moment than English clubs?
They do.
Hmm.
Because there are some Danes in the Championship and also in League 1 and League 2, but they have been here for some years.
Klaus Jürgensen and people like that.
Yeah, that's right.
I can think of.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, but one of the best keepers in Denmark, from Aalborg, Jim Nielsen was sold to Leicester, but he didn't get a game nearly.
No, he was.
And now he's back in.
Now
he's back again.
Well, because he was an international keeper. I mean,
He was. I don't understand because he was a very good keeper, but you know, managers' choices and so on.
Mm, well, I mean, Leicester's not been a particularly stable club. Have they?
No.
They've had sort of 15 managers in the last year and a half, haven't they? But Jimmy Nielsen. I remember because when we played. We've been over there 2 or 3 times, haven't we, Ray, on pre-season tours?
Yes. And you couldn't have had Jimmy Nielsen free also in January, if you wanted to.
Yeah. Anything else on the old...
Not on that subject, but we've gone back to one of our favourites. In light of the handball goal incident, would you like to see goal line technology introduced into the game? That's some crazy... We've been here before, haven't we, Phil?
I think there is a thing for it. Goal line technology so we can stop discussions of goal line technology, really.
But I think
bring it all to a close eventually. We can all move on to something else.
I think there is room for that, definitely.
Yeah, it's got to come in because you look at cricket, rugby, they've all got some sort of video evidence now for the big decisions. Even tennis, now you can have a call, you can appeal then twice in a set or something. So we're the only sport, I think, that doesn't have any sort of reference to big decisions. And goal line decisions is the only one I'd have it in for. I wouldn't have nothing for fouls, retros, but goal line incidents, I think is well worth the effort. It would have helped us on Saturday. I'm sure a lot of other clubs would say, yeah, it would have helped us.
You have the decision at once.
But the only
you can hear it.
The only thing wrong with that is that means if there is everyone shouting and screaming like they were on Saturday, the ref has to stop the game. doesn't he? You've got to have a reason to stop the game. Do you stop
the game because everyone's shouting in the pee? I don't think that would be any different in the situation now. All that would happen is that you'd have some, presumably the referee would get some sort of buzz in his ear.
Or he can have a sort of clock on his arm where he could see, oh, now it's blinking.
Or the posts could flash. So everyone would know, I don't want to Americanize the whole game, but you know.
It doesn't happen a lot. I mean, that was it only
fluorescent posts. That's a great idea.
Funnily enough, I watched Histon last night, Histon Northwich, and there was a very similar incident in that everybody thought the ball had gone in. It hit the post and kind of, or the crossbar rather, and it was kind of all the players running to one side and the crowd were going, suddenly realised that the game was going on. As it happened, Histon scored 30 seconds later and it didn't matter. But, you know, it is ridiculous in this day and age that something can't determine
whether... They don't happen a lot. It's not every 5 minutes that an incident like that happens. But first time we've had that report run for, I think, this season, something like that. So it's not going to stop the game every 5 minutes, which I wouldn't want at all, and I agree with you. But for that sort of goal, I think you've got to have it. You've got to have it, to be fair.
I think so. Yeah, we've solved that. Come on.
Right, couple more.
Move on. This is a nice issue.
Nice one from Mariner. Congratulations on the award. Surely this is down to the high quality of the emails you received. Well, it is, actually, to be honest. If we didn't get any emails, you wouldn't have a show. So it's good. Thanks to you guys. Yeah, we're rubbish. Get the emails coming in. This is from our Russian-speaking vulture. Graham, will you be calling the Boo Boys tossers again? I think that the treatment of Gary Roberts got from some sections of the crowd on Saturday was a disgrace. Whatever you think of his abilities as a player, he's wearing a tan shirt, isn't he? So, yes, tossers.
Well, there you go. That's another issue solved. We all agree on that.
Simon Allardyce. John Waters aside, who do you folks believe to be the most competent winger we've got?
On his day, Danny Haynes. On his day, he's unbelievable. He's unstoppable. For the first 25 minutes on Saturday, that full-back dinner was coming or going. But unfortunately, Danny Haynes is inconsistent. But if he's moved around like he was on Saturday, you play somewhere else now, Danny, it must upset him.
Yeah. The best winger we have had this season is surely John Walters.
Yeah.
Yes, he was fantastic. And there you have Jim again, a strange decision. He was our star player in the first part of the season. And what do you do then when you have problems? You put him, I think, on the left side of midfield.
Mm.
And no, you have to build your team around your star and important players.
Rather than fitting in...
Yes, rather than fitting him in where's their holes. And I think that was a problem. Also, when he was very good as a striker, I think it was around Christmas or so, then he was put in midfield sometime. So... I think players get frustrated when they are placed elsewhere in the team than they are used to and in the previous games.
Well, it doesn't help consistency of the team, does it, if players keep being moved around?
The thing is that
Walters was basically put at right midfield because Jim didn't see him as a first choice striker with Alan Lee and Pablo.
Forget about it. It was a chance. It was good.
Oh.
And then let him stay there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think why he moved. Presumably he was moved to the left because we didn't really have any other options around Christmas. Obvious options. But there again, I suppose... Back to Gary Roberts, really, being his loss of form being...
Have we got Jim Magilton on?
Yeah. But I mean, Danny Haynes, I'm coming on to Danny Haynes because there was sort of a lot of stories over the weekend linking him with Premiership clubs. I mean, I don't generally think he's a Premiership class player, do you?
On occasions he is.
Is he?
Of course he is. You look at some of the goals he scored. I mean, you can go back to last year at Hull. He got two fantastic goals at Hull last year. Just went past the defence and smacked. On Saturday, if that ball hadn't hit the post on Saturday, that would have been a brilliant goal, first 5 minutes against QPR. Unfortunately, he didn't get lucky that he hit the post and came out. Goal against Wolves this year, just... third goal down the North Stand.
But don't you think he's got a lot to learn with distribution?
Of course he has.
He has
got great potential.
He's got great potential, yeah.
£2 million for a Premiership club is a snip. For them, it's pocket money.
But he's absolutely not a Premiership player at the moment. Mm. And I'm afraid that if he goes to a Premiership club, he'll disappear in the reserve team and we'll never hear about Danny Haynes anymore, perhaps in League 1 or League 2.
Yeah, well, I mean, someone posted a message board the other day sort of comparing him with Darren Bent. Well, I think Darren Bent is absolutely light years ahead of Danny Haynes, and where Darren Bent at the same age as Lightyear is ahead of Danny Hayes. There's so much more to his game. I mean, I think Danny Hayes, you know, well, what he's good at, he's great at. I mean, he is fantastically fast. I can think of very few players who are as fast as Danny Hayes. And as you say, he does score some fantastic goals on occasions. But on other occasions, I think his finishing is poor. And so I think he's
but he gets in a position. Yeah, if he's played up front and treated right, he always gets in a position. I know he makes a mess of a lot of things, but you've got to be there to have the chance.
And at other times, I mean, his touch lets him down on a lot of occasions.
He can't pass the ball.
Particularly when he plays
in the field. His crossing's poor.
And so really, I sort of think this kind of... there's so much there that's not there, as it were. Do you know what I mean? There's so much in his game that he's missing. That
it's
I think,
accentuate, you know, the positives, Philip.
Well, no, you know, we're critically analysing somebody. You know, I'm saying that he is very quick and he can finish on occasions, but... Premier League player, strikers in this division than Danny Hayes. Oh.
He's a good Premiership player. And I think Championship player. Yes, sorry. and he needs 3 or 4 more years in to develop.
How old is he? 20.
Twenty. Yes.
Do we agree that he should play on Saturday? They should wind him up.
Where?
He should play wide right, use his pace, give him the ball, run at their defence all afternoon. If he does that, and if he's patted on the head by Jim, says, do that, Danny, for us. That's all we want you to do. We're not going to move you around. We're going to muck you about. He'll get a couple of goals. Muck him around, play here, play there. Let's get this tactical thing. Just play him where he's best and give him the ball and let him run.
I mean, I agree with you. I think you should play right midfield on Saturday. I don't think it's...
Or even right winger. Let's have 3 up front. Let's make a statement of intent. Let's make a mark.
I think it's going positive and it's going very, you know, I think 3 up front away from home.
Remember,
probably.
We're playing Colt with respect.
Well, I know
we
are.
They'll be up for the game. They'll be fired. That's all they'll have.
Okay, right, quick. We've got one very quick text. It's probably the shortest one I've had. It's only 3 words. From Darren of Ipswich, has Legwinski died?
Not that we're aware of. I think the situation really with him is he's clearly off, isn't he, at the end of the season.
Right, and as we're going to have to quickly move on to Colchester, we've got a couple of minutes. From Patterson Lee, Durso in charge of the Colu game again. 3 points to Colchester United, it is then. I could quite see that, yes.
I like Durso now, because didn't he do something...
against Norwich on Saturday, yes, he did.
Not a handball by a Bristol City player, and he gave a free kick to Bristol City, from which they scored.
Yeah, something like that, in the last
so
seconds.
So Andy Durso is a town hero now, from zero to hero in 1 week.
No, he's not.
He won't be
on Saturday. I can't stand him.
No. So do you want to go on to the Colchester game? You've got 1 minute to sort of say what you think is going
to
happen.
But I think Colchester would like to go down Saturday with a win over Ipswich, and it'd be a really hard test. Yeah, I'm absolutely sure, but I don't agree with Ray. I think our system should be 4-4-2.
Yeah, I think 4-4-2. Danny Haynes wide, and given the availability of players, I would say that means that Jordan Rhodes would have to play up front with.
I would like to give him a chance. Yes,
I think he, yeah, and I can't. I think that that's possibly the way it may happen. Well, I would like to think that the way it happened. Colchester, of course. I was speaking to a Colchester fan yesterday, and it's their nightmare way of getting relegated, really. They're Ipswich Town, they're big rivals. We don't really count Colchester as big rivals, I don't think, do we? But they hate us, and their season will end with relegation at home to us, which is an unfortunate way for it all to end.
Be positive and stick with it. Don't fiddy-faddy about.
What I was saying, though, everyone's going on about the Wolves game being the hardest one left, but... they're just totally disregarding Colchester, and that's the worst thing to do, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think they've got Hull at home as well, which is another very difficult.
And Preston thing. Haven't lost for about 3 years, have they?
I don't know.
If you think about it.
Well, you know, we could go through the whole list. That was quite.
Okay, quick predictions. Finn, do you want to start? Prediction for Saturday?
If you look at the Colchester, they are a free scoring team without a defence. So it could really be a very exciting match with lots of goals.
8-8.
And
so what?
No. I'll say 3-2 Ipswich.
1-1.
Yeah.
You said positive, right? Then you.
Well,
they'll
do it. They haven't got the guts. And Durso will give a penalty in the last minute, as he will do, to make it 1-1.
Yeah, and as Finn was saying about how Colchester are a side without a defence, they're very attacking. I think they've actually scored more goals than Bristol City, which is extraordinary.
Yeah, well,
that
could be interesting.
The chap I was speaking to at Colchester was saying that the player they've missed most this year was not any of the strikers who went, but Wayne Brown, which tells the tale, really. Yeah, I think we'll win 3-1, there you go.
Cool, blimey. Right. Okay, on that note, thanks ever so much to our virgin, who is now no longer a virgin, Finn, all the way from Denmark, from Ray, of course, from Phil. Apologies for two late texts, which we haven't got time to read out, and from Veely, who sent us in an email booing, would you believe? Can you believe that? Boo us. So thanks for that, Veely.
Can we boo back?
Yeah, go on, boo, Veely. Thanks for that, everyone. Till next week, have a really good one. Take care, bye.